Happy, happy Friday. We made it to the weekend, my friends. It is 9:06, and your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Good morning and welcome for the final hour of our get-together. We call it the 9 o'clock stretch. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we have a special guest. He's invited via CEP, which they're doing great work. We'll talk about that. But Justin Morton, business owner and supervising partner, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen.
It is very nice to meet you. We got to chat a little bit, but you are you're a supervising partner, so you have a stake in a Sonic Drive-In in Marion County.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Marion, Lake, and Alachua County. Yes, sir.
So, you know, I know you're still a fairly young guy. How did you get to that position? And it sounds like you did it pretty quickly. What was your motivation?
They built a Sonic when I was 16 years old in a town called Summertown, Tennessee. 1,200 addresses. It was the first restaurant there beyond a pop or mom and pop place. Got our first stoplight 2 years ago. And it was that time, as my mom would say, she dropped me off to earn my keep. So I had to, get out into the real world for the first time and earn for the first time. So I think the early motivation for me was just to have some change in my pocket, you know, and actually be able to buy things that I wanted for the first time in life. I was raised pretty frugal, so. I think that was my early motivation. Yeah, I met some great people along the way that were great mentors. Some people I call friends today.
That you actually worked with? There was like a manager above you?
Absolutely, yes, yes. So the first year I was at Sonic, there was a gentleman there. Name was Daniel Johns, and he was a good manager. But I learned the difference between a manager and a leader when a gentleman named Chris Miller came about a year after. He replaced him as the general manager of the location. Chris took a liking to me and mentored me. And, you know, I'd never really met a guy like him, the way he spoke to people. And that in itself is what inspired me to learn more about business and more about the industry.
I love how you applied that leader, to be a leader, and what goes along with that. And that helped to motivate you. And like you say, he took you under his wing. Now, how'd you end up in Ocala?
Ocala. So, it's a long story. That Sonic that I started at 16 years old, making the onion rings, prep guy. I'm a pretty good onion ring maker, by the way.
But well, I love onion rings.
Now we don't even make them anymore. They did a lot of work to make sure that they emulated them. But the started out making onion rings there. When I turned 22, I was asked to be promoted to be the general manager. Chris was leaving. He recommended me. He was going to a different franchise. And so at 22 years old, I took that location over as the lead.
22 general manager.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then the next 3 years following that, I would have made it the number one Sonic drive-in in the nation in operation standards.
Now, wait a second. You told me just earlier you had like 12,000 addresses.
Yeah, 1,200 addresses.
1,200, I mean.
Yeah,
1,200.
Yeah, 1,200 addresses in that town.
And you took it to number one.
Yes, sir. I grew in 3 years, I grew sales 400,000. And in anything you can measure from an operation standpoint, we were number one in the nation out of 3,600 locations.
You better be careful. Our general manager might not let you leave today.
I'm telling you. I'm feeling like a real slacker at this point, you know?
Well, you are, Greg, but that's another story.
Okay, all right.
So tell us about some of the milestones. What were they? It's so weird that when you're younger and you've seen this level of success, you know, your life is almost compressed in some ways. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, you're not old enough to go, well, looking back on it. And I can appreciate that. So how did you hook up with the guy who now he owns multiple franchises? So now you have a piece of the action and you're also running it. You're a supervising partner. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. So when I achieved that accolade of being number one in the nation, another mentor of mine by the name of Kevin Briggs, he has a stake that I now own in Sonic here in Florida. He owned the Sonic in Tennessee there. He said he needed some help with these locations here and asked me if I'd come down and work with him in a multi-unit leader aspect. Started in Eustis, Florida at the end of 2019. We all know what happened at the beginning of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So I got here and I got just enough time to really get some roots in of some core value Sonic operation stuff. So in Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, you can't drive 15 miles without running into a Sonic drive-in. It's a culture.
Really?
You're raised with it. In Florida, there's only like 93 in the entire state. There's 102 in just Middle Tennessee, right? Completely different culture. So we had some operational opportunities. I had enough time to shift those. In 2020, the pandemic happened, right? And what better place to go to than Sonic? You know, there's no indoor seating. You're more than six feet away when you're pulling up in your car. So as a company, like the brand, it increased 30% in sales.
So that was huge. I mean, if you look for a silver lining, COVID actually was very good for your business.
Yeah, it's a weird way to say it, but I was like, for business, it was actually really good for Sonic. So our franchise grew 40% in sales, and we never looked back.
So how does, you know, the CEP, how does that figure into, you know, your operations and what you're trying to achieve, you know, in Ocala and Marion County?
So when I first moved to Florida, I lived in Lake County, and it's a nice area. I lived in the Eustace, Mount Dora area. I enjoyed it there. Didn't feel like home. I first started working in the locations we have on that lower end. That's the lower end of our franchise. So I didn't make it to Ocala and start working with the locations we have there until about three and a half years ago. And when I first started getting involved in Ocala, we had some opportunities to grow. I've always believed in partnering with anything local, being the Chamber of Commerce. So I made some phone calls. I actually got I met Joe Reichel and Jeff Schultz, who are some really good friends of mine today, and they onboarded me into the CEP. It was, you know, an immediate relationship. And I always say that moving to Ocala and getting – I moved to Ocala a year later. I loved it so much. Sold my home there, moved to Ocala. And it felt like a warm hug, man, just coming to Ocala. And the CEP was a huge driving force of that. So my first interaction with the CEP wasn't even – I wouldn't even say it was situated around professionalism. I would say it was just, you know, being, you know, just people, just like we're camaraderie, we're talking right now. Joe and Jess made me feel so comfortable about what was happening there and shared some of the – what had been happening there. It was super impressive. We clicked immediately, and so I started making connections. I partnered, and it's been huge for me. I made all the contacts that you would need personally and professionally, new friends. If I have a plumbing issue, an electricity issue, I got people that are rooted in Ocala, born and raised.
And they're part of the CEP.
That's how you networked
with them.
Yes, absolutely.
And so now these are people you know, you trust.
Absolutely.
And so when there's a need, you call them. That's I like that. So, you know, Sonic is a franchise, but, you know, I see that you kind of run it more on an individual type basis. How does that fit in with the character and everyday life, say, in Marion County?
That's a great question. And I like the way you said that. Yeah, it is a franchise, but what we like to say is that you know, we have our own personality in our own towns, right? So how it fits in for us, man, it's all about people. So we always say the answer is yes. What's the question? So we really try to partner with the local community. We do a lot for the school systems, give away thousands of dollars of food. We do these slush parties. We do teacher appreciation. We do student appreciation. We just try to get rooted in there and see how we can really centers around how can we help our youth and anything driving youth, because we really believe that's our tomorrow, right? Our youth. And 70% of what we do in Sonic, 70% of our staff, our employee base, they're teenagers. So
yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about. So you're recruiting, obviously, local, and they're all local young people, it tends to be. Is that difficult to train and keep good people?
I think it can be challenging, but I think that's what we're there for, right? I mean, we all remember being a teenager,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I remember parts of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that is our opportunity. We talk about it all of the time. They come in the door. We're just trying to teach them good principles and values to go out and, you know, be good contributing members to society. And, you
That's
know,
awesome.
Maybe someone's not had the opportunity to talk to them about the importance of punctuality or, you know, treating each other with respect. You treating your business and the business that you're working for and your peers and the time with respect. So we really try to cultivate that and give them that, I guess, segue into adulthood.
Do those values kind of come naturally to you, the way you were raised?
Oh yeah, certainly, certainly. I was very much raised yes sir, no ma'am, and I think that's been huge for me. Treat others with respect, the golden rule, right? I remember getting asked a question by I had a really good relationship with the bank ladies whenever I worked in at Podunk Town, 1,200 addresses. I was there every day, and they asked me if I was fearful of moving to Florida. They said, "Justin, are you nervous about, you know, finding the right people? I know you've been here for so long." I said, "You know, I think if you're the right person, the right people always come."
Well, I think you also chose a very good area of Florida, too. Marion County, Ocala is also growing. That's probably good and helps your business. And so, you know, what excites you the most about kind of the direction that you're headed in right now and the area that you happen to be in as well?
Well, I have to say, you know, it's no secret Ocala is on the map. More and more people are moving here. I think it's been, what, number one
on the
U-Haul
top,
list
yeah.
or whatever mm-hmm. the last few years. I get that information a lot. Man, we have so much going on in Ocala now, so many, you know, different groups of people moving there. I've seen it in just the 3 years I've lived in Ocala. I've seen it, you know, change a lot. Mm-hmm. We got more entertainment than we've ever had, more opportunity than we've ever had. For me, I love Buc-ee's, right? Every time I travel to Tennessee, I make two stops of Buc-ee's, and we know that's coming to Ocala.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I'm excited for that brisket sandwich that's coming there, you know. So,
well, I do have one question before Bob wraps up.
Okay.
Can you roller skate?
I can roller skate in a roller skating rink, and I have made my attempt a few times at Sonic. But there may or may not be some videos of me not being the best or being the best.
Remember, Greg, he's an owner, so there's a little thing called workman's comp.
Oh, yeah. So he's not going to risk it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's keep costs down, right?
Yeah,
keep
fair.
Costs down, pass the savings along to the customers.
Absolutely.
Justin Morton, really, it has been a pleasure. Thanks for explaining your involvement with the CEP, and we wish you continued success with your Sonic drive-in. And sounds like you are on the path, my friend.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you. All right, it is 9:17 on the Bob Rose Show. We're about 30 minutes away from things that make you smile. I'll give you all the headlines, anything you might have missed. We'll catch up on it next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 9:22. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. And we know you're busy. Look, let's make it easy. The Bob Rose Show podcast will have every minute, every issue on demand in one place. Now free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, iHeart. Just hit subscribe and there you go. The Hulkster. Getting his day in the sunshine, and I think it's a great move when Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday announced that he was declaring today Hulk Hogan Day across our fine state in honor of the WWE megastar. You know, he passed away at the age of 71 July 24th, so a little over a week ago, and that was in Clearwater, of course. And Governor DeSantis said that U.S. and Florida flags would be put at half staff today at the state capitol and in Pinellas County, which includes Clearwater, where he lived for the final 13 years of his life. Lived in that area pretty much on and off most of his life. But Hogan was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame twice, first in 2005, again in 2020, as a member of the New World Order. His larger-than-life personality obviously will be missed. As the Hulkster was an icon for many who grew up in the 80s and 90s as well as today, the governor was a fan, for sure is a fan, and he was a true Floridian through and through. So the governor finished with, "Rest in peace, brother."
That's awesome.
And he did, yeah.
That
he put the brother
awesome.
In there. That's it was actually, I mean, technically the Hulkster was born in Augusta, Georgia. But he spent vast majority of his life. He was very young, I think, when he came to the Tampa Bay area. I know I believe he went to Robinson High School in the Tampa Bay area. I mean, you know, I lived there for a while, and so mm-hmm. he was already an icon even back then. I mean, he was already really a star. Yeah, every once in a while, I'd cross paths with some of the other more junior wrestlers. And they were decent to me anyway. I always had a good time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's fun.
All right. So, by the way, did I mention they did rule, Pinellas County Forensic Science Center did rule that he died of a heart attack, a myocardial infarction. And, he was 71. And he also, they knew this was an ongoing thing, but now it's publicly known. They also had chronic lymphocytic leukemia, CLL, a form of cancer that affects your white blood cells. So he had that. He also had some AFib, He had that as well. So there were some issues there, but they're calling it cause of death natural.
Yeah.
So you're 71. You know, your body is what? 6'5", carried around a lot of weight, even though it was muscle.
Yeah, you beat it up a lot over the years.
Like and then the punishment that you take and the trauma and on a regular basis for decades. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's gonna have an impact at the end of the day. And but rest in peace, Hulk Hogan. And he gets his day in the sun, and today is his day, and this will be
that's cool.
Marked year in and year out. So, I think the governor absolutely made the right move. Can we transition from Hulk to Huck?
Sure.
Hulk to Huck.
Go ahead.
Huckabee.
Uh-huh.
Yep. You know, he's our ambassador, Mike Huckabee, is to Israel.
We like him, too.
Yes, we do. Yeah. And he made an interesting statement on News Nation's On Balance. And he said he's glad that Arab nations like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the UAE had the moral clarity to call on Hamas to surrender and release the hostages, and said, I just wish the Europeans had some of the other nations that are supposed to be highly developed, highly civilized, would have picked the side of the civilized people and not uncivilized savages who massacred people on October the 7th, instead of choosing Hamas over Israel. Yeah, and he said, I think it's interesting. European nations, Canada, and other Western civilized nations are pushing Israel harder than they're pushing Hamas. And it's fascinating when you've got actually Arab nations. Because they get it. They get it. For people that are not really touched by it, or they haven't paid attention to history, they have this romantic vision. And I call it romantic. It's not truly romantic, but what it is these are the same ones that have like a T-shirt with Che Guevara on it. You know,
right.
They don't understand that socialism and communism, how tens of millions of people were murdered in the name of those things.
They're clueless.
They don't understand that.
They don't.
And they want to side with Hamas. And if you had any idea of how they would want you to live your life, talk about no freedoms, and especially if your alternative lifestyle, you know what your alternative would be? The cold ground.
Yeah,
as in very cold. But some of these young people, they just don't get it. And some countries, in fact, don't even get it completely. It is 9:28 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's a happy, happy Friday. We've got a lot more in store for you. And about 15 minutes away from Things That Make You Smile, brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Good morning. Happy, happy Friday. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is also Hulk Hogan Day. Declaration coming yesterday from our governor. And I love it. Brother! Now, an important PSA for you, our Sky listeners. You know, the Bob Rose Show is now a podcast, so you can find us anytime on Apple, Spotify, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your pods. You can catch full episode or listen by individual hour. You can even jump straight to the highlights if you want to. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Bob Rose Show, hit the follow button. You'll get every minute of the show, and you get it your way on your time. And that's nice. That's called convenience. That's technology working for us, not against us.
I like that.
You like that?
I like that.
Football season started. Yeah, I know. It kind of snuck up on me. We always have that early NFL preseason game. That's the Hall of Fame game, Canton, Ohio, every year. But sometimes it catches you unaware because it still feels like hell outside.
I wonder where you were going to go with
that. I was going to say summer, but that's not adequate enough.
No, it's not.
But anyway, I hope my Lions got beat up 34-7. But like we say, when we lose bad and it is early, in the preseason, you just say, it's just a preseason game. Shut it.
Yeah. All about perspective.
Yeah. 34-7, though. Yeah, they took a bit of a beating. But they also, the game opened with a very quiet moment of silence, in fact, for the four people that were killed earlier this week by a shooter who was targeting the league headquarters in New York. The gunman also wounded a league employee in the shooting Monday night. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell told NBC that he visited the employee for an hour on Wednesday and said the man was improving. Increased security around Tom Benson Stadium and the Pro Football Hall of Fame Village. A lot of the starters weren't playing. It really was very, very preseason-ish. You'd say, oh, and by the way, since it's a Hall of Fame game, they announced cornerback Eric Allen, defensive end Jared Allen, tight end Antonio Gates, wide receiver Sterling Sharp will all be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, made official tomorrow. So football season.
Wow.
I love it.
Are you ready?
Can't wait. Go Gators.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they open their season against the Long Island Prep Mid-Island. I'm making fun, I know. But they're opening. We're opening against a smaller school, but it's the Gators, and we're going to have fun. And to everybody else and all the teams that you root for, I love college football. You know, when I met Betsy, she's a jock, right? And so I thought, you know, she's going to be into the college game. Well, she is. She's into the Gator game. She attended UF for maybe a semester or two before she got the boot. Just kidding, honey. And she's a big Gator fan, but not college football in general. It's like,
interesting.
What? Yeah. What? I didn't know this? I'm sharing my life with you, and I didn't know this because Saturday, that's when you put game day on. That's what you do. It starts at like 9 a.m. Or you go back and forth. You go to SEC Network. You go back and forth. That's what you do. And it gets you fired up for all the games. That's a Saturday. It's what you do.
Those are the rules, huh?
I was like, wow.
Huh.
It's like, well, I like the professional game.
You're gonna get in trouble, Bob.
I almost did last night. You know what I mean by snarky comment?
Yes.
She wasn't there.
That's
Are
you serious?
She had to take a phone call from her brother.
Oh, because I thought, you were going to be in so much trouble.
Yeah.
You just said something from the podium in front of a room full of witnesses, like law enforcement and first responders.
Mutual friend Jessica that works for Kamek.
Yes.
She was just trying to help get people photographed properly.
Yes, exactly.
She just tightened it up, get in line, having fun with it, but
yes.
Trying to make a better picture, in which a lot of them did come out nice.
Yeah.
And afterwards, you recognized her, you said something about her, and I said, hey, she's pushier than my broad. And Craig's like, you're going to be in trouble now. And I looked over, and she wasn't at the table. I'm
cheer.
Like, uh-uh.
Why, you lucked out. Well, until now, then she's going to hear it. Maybe not.
Yeah, no pickleball today, I don't think.
Well, hopefully she's out working in the yard by now, and it's almost 10 o'clock.
She actually does.
I know. You got to beat the heat.
She is out there. But, by the time I get home, like yesterday, she goes, hey, how you doing? And she was like a dirt ball. What do I call her? I go, you having fun out there, mud dauber? She was. She was covered head to toe like in dirt.
Well, so much of what you guys do. I mean, you did the whole pool project.
Yeah.
And there's always landscaping stuff
exactly.
going on. A lot of it is outside at your house that needs done.
And if you're going to do it, when do you do it?
Early in the morning.
Yeah.
See, that's the advantage my neighbors have over me, because it's like when it was so brutally hot, I'm like, I can't mow. It's like, just... But, they can get up and do it at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we miss out on that.
Yeah, so doesn't really... I could put a headlight on the thing and, do it at 3, I guess, but they may not be happy with me.
Hey, that's what the guys working on the roads do. I was coming down 39th Avenue this morning, man,
yes.
And they were busy working on the roads.
That, and I've mentioned it before, coming in about 4 o'clock just before I get to the studio, and some of the bank, the complexes and whatever, their crews are already out there on mowers with lights.
Really? They are out there.
4 o'clock in the morning, trying to beat the heat.
So,
well, nobody lives there, so you're not going to wake anybody up. Well, the guy at the bus stop, but that's beside the point. But other than that...
He's not supposed to be sleeping there anyway.
He shouldn't be sleeping there anyway.
Former Vice President Kamala Harris.
Speaking of street.
She had difficulty answering a question. Wow. She was with her buddy, Stephen Colbert, on the show last night, apparently. And she had difficulty spitting out who the current leader, who she felt like the current leader of the Democratic Party was. Yeah. And so Stephen Colbert, even he, you know, it's like you could see he's almost saying with his face, I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you.
Uh-huh.
One of those, you know?
Those are almost embarrassed. Even if it's Kamala, you're almost embarrassed for her because she's not sharp enough to be embarrassed for herself.
Yeah. And yeah. It's like, I can't make it any more obvious that I'm helping you than this. Yeah.
Would you like to say you're the head of the party? Or if you're not, you know, name somebody. Do you think it's AOC? Do you think it's Bernie? Whoever, but pick somebody.
So I said this earlier. I go, yeah, loser interviewing loser. She announced recently, of course, that she would not be running for governor of California next year. And he asked her, Stephen Colbert did, to identify who she believes is in the driver's seat for her party.
But that should be an easy question.
Yeah.
Who is the leader? Who's taken your party where they need to go?
Well, she said there are a lot of leaders. No, there's lots of leaders. There's lots of leaders.
Well, then you're probably not all going the same direction.
Yeah. And you know, she couldn't name a name.
Well, maybe she doesn't know who they are.
Well, Colbert pressed her on it a little bit and asserting that there's generally a leader of the party.
Yeah.
And asked again if any names came to mind. She said, I think there are a lot. I mean, I'm not going to go through names because then I'm going to leave somebody out and then I'm going to hear about it.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not staying in politics, what do you care? Right.
And if there aren't enough, I mean, can you have so many leaders that you can't name them? Are there really that many? I mean, that doesn't really make any sense.
No. She said, but let me say this. I think it is a mistake for us who want to figure out how to get through this and get out of it to put it on the shoulders of any one person. It's really on all our shoulders.
Okay.
Gosh.
Wow.
I mean, just when you think she couldn't get any more, you know, cliched, circular talking pattern, I mean, she outdoes herself once again.
That's as political and bland at the same time as you can get.
Yeah, and you know what? It was like, it was very soon after that, Colbert's like, okay, we got to move along. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
You got one foot in the bucket, one foot on a banana peel, and you have a former vice president on your show, and you can't wait to get rid of her.
That's pretty sad.
That is pretty sad.
Yeah.
Democrats Harris could have named. She could have named Pete Buttigieg, right? What about Gavin Newsom? All right. Yeah. They got double-digit support from voters in an early 2028 presidential primary poll. She could have mentioned Chuck Schumer, although
on his way out.
Yeah, I would think, but
yeah.
We thought that maybe Nancy Pelosi was too, and that was like 112 years ago.
Good point.
That was right after the War of 1812.
she was an early adopter.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries came up. You know what? There's something about him that it's just very odd. There's something just about him. And I think it's partially the way he looks, which I don't want to disparage somebody for how they look. They can't really control that. But it's both how he looks and how he acts.
I think he's an AI entity. I don't think he's real.
Oh.
I think he's a robot.
I never thought of that.
Uh-huh. I think so. I'm sure. I think that probably Apple built him or something. Yeah, that's what I think.
Just to harken back to my earlier statements, I wonder how many books Stephen Colbert helped Kamala to sell, you know, her new book's out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
107 days. She should have said how I blew $1 billion, lost the presidential race, and then lost money on top of it.
I thought they had like $1 billion.
They did.
But still lost money.
Yes.
You got to try hard to do that.
Yeah,
you
I would think so.
You
got to make a real effort.
In the war chest, and you still overspend and lose miserably?
Well, remember, she was paying everybody.
True.
Everybody that endorsed her. And, you know, once a few, you know, people find out.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, hey, I'd really like you to come forward. Really? I heard you're actually, you paid Oprah. Well, we don't want to really call it paid. Well, I'm just wondering, you know, what's in it for me?
They sent some money to her production company, Bob.
Yeah, did
you love that phrasing? They did pay Oprah's production company. Well, who do you think Oprah's production company is? Hello?
It's Harpo.
Exactly.
And you know what Harpo means?
What's that?
It's Oprah spelled backwards.
And it is.
Which it literally is.
It really is. That was creative.
I can't remember. I'm trying to think who pointed that out to me a long time ago.
Also a Marx brother.
Oprah is a Marx brother?
Harpo.
She identifies as... She can identify as anything
she wants,
apparently. my friends. Listen, we know you're busy. The Bob Rose Show podcasts have every minute, every issue on demand in one place. Now free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, like Apple, Spotify, or iHeart. Just hit subscribe. Coming up next, things that make you smile. That's what we need. Upbeat positive thoughts. And it's brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. Don't be shy. Call in now. 877-975-9825. Things that make you smile is next on 97.3 The Sky. Oh, that coming cold front makes me smile and kind of cackle, too, because it's going to be about, 3 degrees difference?
Well,
maybe
it's not as hot front.
We'll take what we can get. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Time for things that make you smile. It's where you call in with upbeat positive thoughts. And it's brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. 877-975-9825. Mark, what's making you smile?
Hey, good morning, Bob and Greg. You beat me to the chase yet again. I was going to say what's making me smile is in anticipation of this gigantic cold front approaching, I've pulled out and dusted off my giant parka from the old Colorado days. It extends down below the knees, so I think I'm ready to handle the 92-degree temperature.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It makes me hot just thinking about that parka. Uncle Mike, what's making you smile?
Yes, sir. I had the honor of meeting Mr. Hogan at Stan's Gym there in Temple Terrace where I was raised. And he challenged me. He was working out with 300 pounds, and he challenged me. I go, I've only done like 230. And he goes, I'll just try it. Made me put the belt on and everything. And I only got it maybe quarter way up. But he laughed and everything. He goes, you got guts. One day you'll get there.
Oh, you got to love that.
That's fun.
Wow, I mean, that's real interaction.
Yeah, that's cool.
Wow. Let's go to Jeff. What's making you smile?
Got the day off. I'm sitting playing cards, and my air conditioner beeps, the light blinks, and the air conditioner shuts off. And I'm thinking, good Lord, there's no way. I took it apart and fixed it, and that's making me smile.
Oh, fantastic.
Ooh. That was close.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Stand by, my friends. Coming up next, it is The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Hang on. Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Disney is being sued for defamation by an Irish woman named Marion Price for how she's depicted in a series set in Belfast in the 1970s. It's called Say Nothing, and it focuses on the life, disappearance, and murder of Jean McConville, a Belfast mother of 10 kids who disappeared in 72. Well, apparently at the end of the series, they show another real-life person, Marion Price, who was a member of the IRA and knew McConville. They show her as shooting the woman in the back of the head and killing her. And this woman is, like I said, a real woman, and said that did not happen, and sued her, or I'm sorry, is suing Disney as a result. So, yep, just might cost them if that's not accurate. And that is your Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. See ya.